This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of Wrath of Man. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this brand new action thriller, which has only just dropped as time recording in the States and won't be seen in the UK, which is weird for a Guy Ritchie film, until July by all accounts. So I apologize to our UK listeners that we are talking about a film you can't
jumping
see
the
yet.
Gun.
Yeah, anyway, it's an action thriller written and directed by Guy Ritchie. Actually, it was also worked on by Ivan Atkinson and Mam Davies in the script department. It's based on a French film. Did you know this, Wayne?
I had read this somewhere.
Yeah, called Cash Truck, or as it's actually known in French, because this is always funny, Le Conveyeur.
It was worth everything. Go ahead.
It stars Jason Statham, Holt McCallany, Jeffrey Donovan, Josh Hartnett, Chris Riley, Laz Alonso from The Boys, Raul Castillo, Eddie Marson, and Scott Eastwood.
Scotty.
It's 119 minutes long. The budget was $50 million. It was shot just before COVID hit at the arse end of 2019 and then into the start of 2020. And because it hasn't been released many places yet, the box office is still only reported as $7.8 million. Wayne, what is it about?
Okay, so Jason Statham plays Hill, or H, who is an aloof, mysterious, tough guy who talks like this. And he starts working for an armored truck company that was recently hit with a heist that killed two of their drivers and a bystander. So then, like, as per the trailer, he surprises his co-workers when he fucking unleashes some John Wick shit during a heist and busts a cap and takes everyone out. And the crew's all left wondering, like, who is he and where he came from? And then this movie goes from there, basically, and shows you what goes on.
Yeah, so let's be really brief and give general impressions for 2 or 3 minutes, because the whole film...
The conceit of the film is something of a spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've seen the trailer, then you know a big portion of this film. And my number one complaint about it, if I can jump straight in, is stop cutting trailers that give away 2/3 of the film.
Yes, I agree completely. Though, to be fair, if you just saw Jason Statham working for an armored truck company, you'd be like, in a trailer, you'd be like, well, why is that interesting? You need to hear something. I see where it happened.
It doesn't need to tell us why. No, it can hint at it without giving it away. Yeah. So that's a huge knock on the film, unfortunately, because the whole first half of the film, you're meant to be like, well, why is this happening? Well, maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe it's 50 minutes of the film.
No, I was.
And
I was
so the whole time, I'm like, yeah, but I know why it's happening. Get on with it.
Yeah, I chose to turn my brain off and forget exactly what it was and not think about it, which I can do because it happens naturally. But
that said, I want to say, I think the first half of this film, maybe first 2/3, is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get past the fact this is not a Guy Ritchie film. I mean, it is a Guy Ritchie film. In other words, it's meant to be entertaining.
This is nothing like a Guy Ritchie film.
There's
a good one,
none right? of the back and forth. There's none of the vibes of a typical Guy Ritchie film. This is much more in the vein of these sort of, you know, call them blockbuster films of late, which have none of his sort of soul or whatever in it, which is a bit disappointing, I have to say. But I was on board for the first half to 2/3 of the film. Absolutely falls apart in the final act and it ends up on a real shit note. So that's my general reaction to Wrath of Man.
Let me tell you something, Paul. This movie's a piece of shit.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's what happens with this film, right, everyone? Let me ask you this, Paul, because I noticed this 5 minutes into the screening, all right? Is it me or is the dialogue incredible? Dude, the dialogue sucks shit, all right? It is so bad.
Not even balls.
And no, dude, and the acting as a result of the bad dialogue is crap, okay? Now, here's the thing, folks. There's some interesting ideas about filmography here. Like, for example, the opening scene is filmed from the inside of the armored car. All right?
I can't talk much about that until we get to spoilers.
No, we can't.
But it's an interesting... Yeah, it's a locked-off camera inside an armored car which gets hit and robbed in the first scene.
And the camera never goes outside the armored car, which is very interesting. Or it would be, but here's what happens, right? This is the opening scene, right? Dude, the two guards are sitting in the front of the cab and they're talking. And this is literally the actual dialogue. It's like, hey, man, you ever thought about buying a coffee maker? Oh, yeah, like one with the Froster thing? Yeah, yeah. It's a really boring, shitty... And it's so bad, right? And I was looking going, oh, my God, what is this? Are they supposed to be, like on the spectrum? What's going on here? Right? I don't know, right? It's
you're loud at that time.
Very stilted, very obviously amateurish acting. Maybe they couldn't do another take because it was COVID. I don't know. All right.
No, it wasn't COVID. As I said, this was shot before.
Yeah, but maybe it's like, oh, we're locking down in a few days. I don't know.
You couldn't do reshoots, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at it going, ugh. And it's just not naturalistic at all. And I don't know if it's supposed to be. That's not Guy Ritchie, everyone.
And as Quentin Tarantino has told us in Reservoir Dogs, you have to be naturalistic. Naturalistic as hell.
Yes, and this is anything but. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the things I go to a Guy Ritchie movie for is that snappy dialogue. You know, usually it's a Cockney thing. It's like, oh yeah, here it is, long as this, long as me, oh, I wish it was something else. You know, all this sort of crap, right? Wish it was long as something else. That's what Jason said to me last time in Snatch. Maybe not that exact piece of dialogue, but shall we say, it's always like...
Guy Ritchie Wayne is available.
But well, he's not going to want to employ me after this review. This is horribly written. This movie is horribly written.
Okay? I didn't have that.
The dialogue is so bad it put me off immediately.
Very weird.
Okay,
very weird for Wayne to be so dark on a film, which also, I'm not on.
Well,
not
this is, I'm amazed on because look at how underlit the execution is. He's doing, this is a lot like Revolver, people.
Oh, no, come on.
This is like, it's in the same vein. It's not as bad as Revolver, all right?
But Revolver this is, makes zero sense.
Do you know what he's done? He's in, because Guy Ritchie still stands by Revolver. He says that that was the hardest movie to make. Like he says, so Sherlock Holmes is easy to make. Revolver is hard to make. So what he's doing, this movie smacks of trying to be too clever for its own good.
Okay.
It is 100% not clever and it's not good.
Don't get me wrong, if I might cut in.
Please.
I'm not suggesting this is an amazing film and you must watch this film. And again, I suspect there's a COVID snapback effect here. I think this is only the fifth time I've been to the cinema this year, which for a person who was going 55, 60 times for the show purposes pre-COVID.
Yeah.
You know, we're into May.
I understand.
It was a great time. Had a good fun. You were there. We had a couple of guests in. Thank you. We should also very much mention thank you to Anarchy for the free tickets to this film because we were invited to the screening.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
They had to cancel it because we were sent into a lockdown here. Mm-hmm. And so they were good enough to send us out in the snail mail some tickets to the film. So thank you again, Anarchy. So we got to see it for free, which is nice.
Yep.
Right? And I got to watch it with my mates. And we got to eat popcorn and, you know, be in the cinema chair.
Yes,
and
this has all nothing to do with the movie.
No, but my point is, it was a nice night.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that maybe that did shape my reaction a little bit.
Absolutely.
And maybe my expectations were low because they are. I'm not the Guy Ritchie fan that you are.
That's what it is.
You wanted to basically suck off the gentleman.
I did, and I still would really kind of... this has made me change my mind a bit.
Right.
Maybe I've taken out. Second. He would have gotten some dick, like, sucking if he just stopped it.
Whereas I just thought the gentleman was fine. I mean, I liked it.
The Gentleman. Loved The Gentleman.
I liked it. I didn't love it like you did. Whereas this film, for me, this definitely The Gentleman's a superior film. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the things I hate about the film are the script, really. And yes, the dialogue's there.
Shitty. On the board to shitty.
Yeah, it's pretty on the nose, right?
It's fucking hot.
And then
shit.
It makes a lot of mistakes, which we need to go into in spoilers.
We will.
You dislike this more than I did, though. No doubt our scores will be the same. Given any history on the show.
Yeah, you're right. It does go that way.
So I tend to mark harder than you do. So we'll see. But there's our general reaction. Mine's a very qualified, sure, see it if you're into this kind of thing. But it's not a great film.
No, it's absolutely not.
You're saying don't see it. It's terrible.
What I'm saying to you guys is, ordinarily I'd be a sucker for this kind of whiskey sipping lizard brain, honor among thieves, manly man bullshit.
Yeah, all right? A great description. Yep.
But this Guy Ritchie's choices, bold though they are, repeatedly confound me.
Okay.
They sit there and go, oh my God, that didn't work.
Well, let's talk about those choices on the other side of the spoiler so we can speak freely.
Bring it.
Here we go. Jack, take us away.
You can't handle the truth.
And maybe you don't want to, according to Wayne, because he did not like this film at all. And I'm shocked. I thought I would be the one having to defend my position on, this wasn't great. I like these bits. I didn't like these bits. So let's hand it over to you.
Okay.
And I'll sit back and just revel in this moment of not being the asshole.
Okay, so for seriously, no one wants to like a Guy Ritchie film more than me. Like, I absolutely love the guy, and I loved probably 80% of his work. His worst things were Revolver and Swept Away.
Oh, yeah.
And fucking, like, a couple of those other crappy ones that I didn't like. Fine. All right, the guy can...
Fucking King Arthur.
King, I didn't mind King Arthur.
King Arthur's a massive piece of shit.
The King Arthur was way better than this film.
No.
Way better, son. All right?
Disagree.
Dude, where's my ass? It's like... Okay, so... All right, wait. Let's just talk about this, okay?
All right.
Anyone could have directed this film. If you look at it, it's like, it doesn't really look like a Guy Ritchie film, so automatically I'm disappointed, all right? And I know he's doing that on purpose, all right? But what he's trying here is, like, the whole conceit of the film, people, is that it's a time-juggling kind of plot. You kind of...
Yeah, they make it non-linear to keep the mystery for as long as it can, which is what I'm saying. The trailer just spoils that immediately.
Well, it's the only feature this film has, because otherwise it's a really bog-standard revenge movie.
Well, it's presented as four acts with a line of dialogue representing each act, right? Which is so pretentious.
Dude, that was not done well. The only guy who does that well is Quentin Tarantino, okay? When you start putting place cards up and having characters say things like, talking about the H character, he's like, these two just like, you know, workaday kind of guards are like, he's a dark spirit. Yep.
I think that's what the title of the first
act was.
Is,
yeah. They do not, people don't talk like that, okay? He's a dark spirit, this guy. He's this and fucking, like, just most portent. One of the, I wrote this out. One of the characters' line is, this is standard, you get back in the truck, he says, what does the world come to? A direct line of evolution from Paleolithic man to a diabetic house husband. What? Who wrote that? Who the fuck wrote that? And what actor had to
I'll agree. It's odd that, now they do emphasize in the film that this is the top of the line, creme de la creme, best of the best security agency, right?
Did you think that? Look like a bunch of hacks to me.
No, well, they state that. I'm not saying that's the case. Well, I am saying that's the case. Because
it's just a fucking amateur. They're
basically saying, we pay the best. So everyone wants this job. If you're in the security game, everybody wants to be in this team because we pay better than anyone and we charge higher than everyone because we are the best, right?
Okay.
So they're probably more intelligent than, and with all due respect, because lots of security guards are just part-timers studying, doing whatever. Yeah. Probably more intelligent than your average parking inspector.
Yeah, but they're
in
not
the UK.
Voltaire. You know what I mean? You can be more intelligent with us saying fucking weird shit like this. It's weird.
But you're right. In that opening scene, they're all talking. Every line's a quip. It feels so try-hard. Like it's almost like Aaron, trying to be Aaron Sorkin dialogue.
Dude, you've hit the nail on the head. Every line is trying to be clever and fails spectacularly because the actors don't know what to do with it. Like there are some elements of the heist do have to be kept hidden so that you can have some mystery, right? Yep. But Richie hides the wrong things. There's a fine line between enigmatic and confusing. And I don't think it was confusing necessarily. It just wasn't exciting.
Well, no, it ends up being very straightforward. But I will agree with you there. That opening shot that you referenced in the non-spoiler section,
go on,
right?
Tell me,
so it's locked off and it keeps the driver hidden from view behind what I assume is meant to be like some kind of metal plate, whatever, right? Okay. It heavily implies by the shot composition the driver's got something to do with this.
Exactly. You don't want to. Don't show you to him. Yeah. He's enigmatic for some reason.
We see the other guy. He's his second driver, the co-pilot, whatever you want to call him. He's there.
Yep.
But the driver's not.
See this?
Then they both just kill. Yep. And it turns out the driver has nothing to do with anything. So why was it framed that
way? Which makes you disappointed. See, this is actually a filmmaking mistake.
It is.
And remember, right? As much as I say, I love Guy Ritchie's style, and I always want to see him losing frames and doing those funny, cool things with the camera with all that video. When he doesn't do it, like let's say Man from U.N.C.L.E., which is one of my favorite films, pretty much, right? That's nothing like a Guy Ritchie film, but it's fucking amazing. I love it,
I disagree here.
I know you don't like it, right? Okay, Aladdin. Now, I know that's for kids and he's directing to a brief, but it still looks good. Do you know what I mean?
But it doesn't look Guy Ritchie. It looks,
no.
It's as bereft of Guy Ritchie-ness as this film is.
But that's what I mean. It can be bereft of Guy Ritchie and still be good, but this isn't that.
Yeah, okay.
This is bereft of Guy Ritchie and shit. So it's very worrisome.
I wish I loved it so I could disagree harder, but I just didn't love it. I thought it was
bog
standard.
It's actually bad. Like, it's just...
Well, it degenerates pretty badly. Oh, can I say a couple of things that I did really like? I really like the score. The score of this film is ominous and threatening, and it really works. Okay, and I know you don't pay attention to that shit. Christopher Bensteed did this. He did the score on The Gentleman as well. Excellent score. Full, and I'm really looking forward to... Probably the best part of this review will be the outro music because it's awesome.
Okay.
But... Statham, you've robbed him of what? What's the number one thing you think of Statham other than his... Okay, number two thing behind his action movie prowess. What's the second thing would you say about Jason Statham as an actor? Oh, what does he bring?
He's charming.
Yes, thank you. Charisma, charming.
He's definitely
charming. They rob him of that this film.
Yep, because he's like a fucking stone cold...
He's just an automated stone cold guy on a track of vengeance.
With one note.
Yeah.
One note.
And he never varies from it. Not when he's confronted by the mother of his child who's been murdered... Not when he's exacting revenge. He's just straight down the line, glowering the entire film.
And what's amazing is you've got Guy Ritchie who's worked with this guy maybe a million times.
A couple of times.
Yeah, at least four times.
Really? Right? I thought it was
Snatch,
Lockstock.
Lockstock, Revolver.
Oh, okay, you're right. Yep.
Fucking, at least this one. I don't know. Anyway, four.
No, this is the fourth. Yeah, this is the fourth. I think you're right.
So he knows where that guy is strong. So write something for him. He clearly wrote this for Jason Statham, right? Like he might, I don't know. I just assume so, right? Like, and so that's it. Like, it's really, There's some very bad writing again. And Paul leaned over at the end and said this to
can
me.
Can I?
Please talk about it. Please.
No, go on. You say.
No, you say. Well, at the end of the movie, right? The plot goes such in that at the end of the film, the entire crew of however many there are, there seems like about 10 of them or like 8
the
of
bad
them.
Bad guys?
Bad guys,
the
right?
Six of them.
There's six bad guys.
Seven including the plant on
okay,
the inside.
Okay, so let's say seven bad guys, right? At the end of the whole plan, like peters out in, we take the money and we go and put it in this Prius and then we drive away. And it's like, the Prius only holds four people, assuming you can fit like these millions of dollars into there, right? So it's like, they counted on most people dying?
Yeah, their entire plan hinged on no more than four of us could possibly make it back to this point.
Exactly, and these are supposed to be crack fucking like, soldiers. You know, soldier motherfuckers who are real disciplined. As if their plan wouldn't. Like, what if we all make it back? If you were any good, your plan would.
Of course, you would just have a fucking SUV.
And that's an easy thing to fix in a plot. What happened? Could they not get an SUV that day? It's dumb.
Let's go further than that then, Wayne, if we're really going to pick
okay,
on the plot.
Okay, please.
They repeatedly refer to this heist at the start of the film where the two guards are killed and we don't know what's going on, but it turns out that an innocent is killed. That is H's son, right?
Yep.
But no one ever mentions that a fourth person was critically wounded. Now, if you're in an armored car gig...
Was someone critically wounded?
Yes, Jason.
Oh, yeah, Jason, of course. Yeah, you're right. Duh.
Do they not know the bloke who was shot almost to death?
Who went to hospital and was definitely registered?
And now, so that makes zero sense.
Yeah, because they go...
Nor does the timeline in this film. The timeline in this film has him recovered from being shot four or five times, right? Going into a coma and being up and back at physical awesomeness within 2 months.
You know, he was shot and almost died. Yeah. Lost like liters and liters of blood.
Within 2 months. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I realize I'm not Jason Statham. Nor am I H from this obviously fictional film. Mm-hmm. I had an operation on my knee 6.5 weeks ago. I'm still not running properly.
And I think Jason's got a few years on you. So
yeah, he might be 1 or 2 years older than we are.
I reckon.
Maybe 3 or 4. Point is, it's utter toss. And that's dumb writing. Why can't it be 15 months
exactly.
later? Exactly. It's just
because part of the
ridiculous.
Movie, the crew that did it actually, there's a whole scene where they're like,
That's why, because the crew that did it wouldn't wait 15 months.
Well, there's a whole scene where they're like, man, we're bored. We have to get out. We want to do stuff, right? So why couldn't that period at least been 10 months then?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why couldn't they have been underground for a year?
Then, so that's daft.
Yes.
At the very end of the film, H is doing his heroic thing and he's trying to kill the people. He's not even trying to foil the robbery. He couldn't give fuck about the money.
No.
He's just trying to kill the people that killed his son.
That's right.
And he knows that Scott Eastwood is a guy that did it. Scott Eastwood, by the way, is terrible in this movie. He's hamming it up and over the top and just seems completely out of place in an already average film.
Dude, every actor in this film is like that. Josh Hartnett is playing an idiot and it looks stupid.
I don't understand why he would take this role. This is his way back in? Was it?
It's so bad.
Sweat Boy or something like that?
Is that what the last one was?
No. I'm saying his nickname and this was...
Oh, whatever. He's just like a moustache dickhead guy. He's playing one note, I'm a dickhead. And then it turns out he's too stupid to live, right? At the end, right? So it's so incredibly shit. Everyone in this movie is stretching. Everyone, it's like the actors don't know what to do.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me. I'm like, are they getting directed? What's going on here?
He gets shot again and left for dead. And it looked like he shot pretty badly, H, right? Mm-hmm. And they drive off, the two...
And at no time
at that point in time, the three surviving robbers, right? They drive off. And then suddenly, after the one Scott Eastwood's character kills Jeffrey Donovan and then kills Holt McCallany, or whatever his name is, before he can kill him, so that we're both going to kill each other. He goes home, he goes back to his apartment with his $28,000 bike, and he's swanning about with his fucking expensive whiskey and whatever, and the bag of cash, which somehow H has stashed a phone into. Is that right?
I think he took someone else's phone and stuck it in there, and that's how he...
And then he tracked him there. Fine. Why is he only walking with a limp? He was sprayed with bullets.
Dude, forget that. Even when Jason Statham was sprayed with bullets and he hit the floor, at no time in your brain are you like, well, that's the end of him.
No, you knew it wasn't going to be the end of him, but they needed to do a better job of showing how he got to where he did.
It looked like he was mildly miffed about getting shot at 40 times.
Oh, I got grazed. It's the kind of reaction where, I imagine, not being shot, you got grazed by a bullet, hurts a bit on your leg, and so you're limping. That's all he's got to show for these bullets, which... Literally riddled him.
Dude, even if it hit him in the vest, I'm told that when you're shot in a vest, it's like if you lay on the floor and someone dropped a bowling ball on your chest from about a height of 6 feet.
Right.
That's what it's like.
Well, and they kind of show that when Josh Hartnett's character gets shot.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Oh, dude, forget about that.
It's terrible.
Forget about that.
It's a terrible ending to, and it's, you cannot buy anything in the last act.
You cannot buy anything.
Can I add to that?
Please.
Right? My script woes. And we know that I always focus on the script. That's the thing. The second sorry, the third, no, the second act is showing H's background. Okay?
Yes.
And he's this, he's a criminal. He's the leader.
He's the boss.
So revered in this small group of dudes who they're terrified of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we get that when, in the first act, when they try to happen to rob the armored car he's on, because they were planning that, because that's how this whole film unfolds. Two groups of people are planning to rob the same fucking armored car business at exactly the same fucking time.
Including his own crew.
Yep.
Who knows that he went... Oh, they didn't know.
No, they thought he went to fucking Ireland or back to London or some shit. Yeah, which is why they... But anyway, so they continue to work and they decided to keep robbing that armored car. That's fine. Those characters, completely fucking superfluous.
Mm-hmm.
We never see them in the final act. They don't come back in.
Not only that.
That is writing 101. They should have been back involved to try to help H. And then had they died in the process, that justifies the second act. Otherwise... All we're establishing is he's a badass. We could have done that in 5 fucking minutes. We did not need 35 minutes of him torturing and randomly killing people. Not randomly. Killing people he thinks might have been responsible.
It went forever, didn't it?
Oh, my God.
It was supposed to show how bad a man he is. And also, but that was even crap. But even when they were switching from their second act where they exposed like the stories of the soldiers or the people who actually did the heist, Jason Statham isn't in it for what feels like an hour. It's not. It's a long time, but it's a long time. And you're like, whoa, that's a bit derailing. And then when they come back together at the end,
I blame Tarantino.
That's why he put the fucking cards up.
I blame Tarantino yet again.
Yeah, but Tarantino does it right.
I blame the fact that people are trying to badly copy his shtick.
That's right. And the thing about that is Guy Ritchie is an original enough type of director where people try and copy him.
He's experienced enough.
Smoking Aces tried to copy like Guy Ritchie like really badly, right? But you know what, just one more point. Like you were saying how shit like this whole last act is. There's a scene where Burn Notice is in the car with fucking Scott Eastwood, Jeffrey Donovan, right? And Jeffrey Donovan's hit and he's like, oh, go, you know, he's like, okay, let's get out of here. You're gonna be okay here, Sarge? And he's like, I'm gonna be fine. Go help him, right? He goes back. Scott Eastwood does whatever, comes back to see Jeffrey Donovan, who's almost like fucked up, and Jeffrey Donovan pulls a gun to try and kill Scott Eastwood. Whatever. He stops him, kills him, right? What was that? If he was going to kill him anyway, wouldn't he just say, you okay, Sarge? Blam, take him out.
You know I think, right,
yeah,
that we're meant to believe that Scott Eastwood's character turns to the dark side the moment that he kills Dougie.
Yeah.
I think we're meant to believe that.
He was always a bit iffy, but yes, he was the one who was going to go.
But the script doesn't do a good enough job, nor does Scott Eastwood do a good enough job of selling that.
Again, I think that the problem is the script is so bad that actors don't know what to do with it. That's what I think. Because these are all good, reasonably good actors. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Scott Eastwood, I've seen reasonable work from him.
Well, I guess, I can't tell whether his character was coming back to kill the Sarge or he was just coming back to help him, then saw him sort of fumbling with the gun, went, fuck you, dead, bam.
Well, yeah, because then after that, he just takes everyone out. Well, the last two people out.
Well, the other guy tried to take him out.
Yeah, that's fair enough, right? But, like, at this stage, it's like, the thing is, like, so many people die in the depot, all right?
Well,
like,
only three cunts come back.
Well,
the exception to that is the boss, Eddie Marson, he survives, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But everyone else dies. All the other guards have been set up in the first act as kind of, including Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
But they're all taken out by Bullet, the guys at the Planet Inside, right. Which his reviewer, by the way, again, so anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm.
So we know there's someone on the inside, but when it's finally revealed, he just casually says it. And you're like, we're here already?
I'll tell you that. And also, at no time, they were setting up the audience like to make Josh Hartnett, everyone think, oh, Josh Hartnett's the bad guy.
I thought actually it was the asshole guy running the booth.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
I thought that's who they were leading, emphasizing it was him.
But because they were talking, Josh Hartnett actually goes, you know, hey, I'm not playing anything, or am I? And I'm like, well, it's not him. You know what I mean? Like, straight away, this is just poorly written, as I said. Yeah. It's just horrendous.
Anyway, like, all right. I think we've got to the end. I don't. Anything else you want to say, Wayne, as a summary of Wrath of Man?
No, all I will say is that Guy Ritchie needs to stop stepping on his own feet with this shit. If he wants to do something different, fine. This is the exact wrong thing, and I don't understand why he got it so wrong. He is amazing. This is just shit, and that's why I'm going to be harsh on it.
Okay, well, I've got one other thing to say. I think the violence also in this film is very hit or miss. Like, with some characters, we don't see their death. They get shot
off screen, including
Josh Hartnett's death. We never get to see him be blown away. And like, but he's a major character. Yeah. Why? And yet other characters are dealt with extremely severely. You see a huge spray of blood across the wall or whatever.
That's why I think they didn't have time for reshoots. That's why some things suck.
It's totally weird in that way. Like,
it makes it weird.
Ultra violent, and it's not violent at all. Mm-hmm. So it could have been PG-13 film had we not shown those blood sprays.
But exactly. Then,
yeah. I didn't Very really know what it wanted to be. So, okay, Wayne. I'll go first because yours is going to I'm giving this 54. It's a barest of passes for me. As I said, I had a good enough time, and the first half I was on board with before it shut the bed. I was thinking, 3.5 stars. And then that last 45 minutes, I'm like, because I was prepared to forgive the shit dialogue because it's an action thriller.
Yeah, see, I wasn't, so okay. I'm 42.
Whoa!
So, you know, it's just, again, when you're disappointed, you're harsher than when you weren't expecting shit. So that's what this is about. It's okay, I'll see every other Guy Ritchie film. I'm not Negatron. You're Negatron. I'm Optimus Prime. Which is why I'm so busy about this. Anyway, you're a bitch.
Better bitch than Negatron. No, wait, that wouldn't work.
Right.
The other show. Wayne is Negatron this week. I am the... Yeah, but still, what, 42, did you say?
Yeah, look, I love 54. Guy Ritchie, man. That's why. It's
you're butthurt by the disappointment.
Butthurt. Seriously.
I totally understand. What did you think of Wrath of Man when you have seen it? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, via Twitter at thecountdownpc. Check out ccradio.com.au for our other great shows on the network, Believe and Comic Confidential. And finally, check out the Facebook list community links in the show notes. Oh, and also you can follow us on podbean.com. That is it for us today. It's been a bit of a disappointing month or so.
It's all right.
Let's hope for something better next week when we review Spiral.
Oh, fuck.
From the Book of Saw.
I forgot I got to do that
and I'm
shit.
Dragging Wayne to this the event bullshit. Screening and he is going to be shooting his pants.
This is the last horror movie I do, everyone.
Or until the next
absolute
one.
Absolute
love. Conjuring 3 is about 3 weeks
gone,
later.
Gone, McCready. Yeah. Gone.
All right, we will catch you. Oh, wait, no. My name's Paul.
My name's Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
See ya.
If you think you're not watching Conjuring 3, you dumb prick.
Bitch, please.
Sorry, I think you meant to say
bitch, fuck off, please.
Fuck off. Catch you next time.